You're listening to the Vegans Explore Network, found at vegansexplore.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Vegans Explore podcast. I am Sean A. Russell, founder of Vegans Explore. And today we have a returning champion coming on the show. A lot has changed since he's been on this network, and we're so excited to get into it. Most notably, his brand new book, Forever Fit, that just came out as the time of this recording, maybe a couple of days ago. And actually, this recording is coming out same day, so you guys are going to be able to experience this book and check it out and see why everybody's talking about it. So I'm excited to have Maxim Seguin on the show. Thank you so much for being a part of this conversation.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, man. Excited to be back and excited for us to chat.
All right, so I want to get right into it. There is a lot of conversation and shifts happening in this vegan plant-based movement. And it seems that when I look at what you're up to right now, hearing about all the great things that are happening, you're right in the thick of that conversation. So before we jump into the fitness conversation, which will be 80%. I know you guys came to listen to this about the Forever Fit, but I do want to talk about this because it is a topical conversation. Let's talk about the whole idea of the vegan and plant-based, because I feel like that is something that isn't talked about enough. And I feel like if there was more clarity around this conversation, there wouldn't be a lot of the backlash and the feelings towards one word or another. So you, when you first came on, you were under another brand, and you've since has adjusted to grow your brand. So talk a little bit about that and some of the reasonings behind making that shift.
Yeah, for sure. So last time I was on, we were under the Fit Vegan Coaching umbrella, which is a company we've had for over 5 years. And we rebranded, I'd say just shy of over a month ago, we rebranded to Mavy Wellness, so M-A-V-Y. One of the reasons, I'll be honest with you, like I wanted to rebrand maybe 2 years ago because I can sense that people had an apprehension to working with us because of the word vegan. They'd come on, they'd be like, hey, like I'm plant-based, like 70%, 80%, 90%, but like I'm not ready to be vegan. So like, I'm not ready to work with you guys. It was like, hey, like we'll meet you where you're at. Like we want you to eat more whole food plant-based because our whole mission is to help people not deal with cancer and reduce the risk of dealing with chronic illness, which is why I started this whole mission after losing my late partner to breast cancer. So I was like, I want to help you get healthier. And even if that means helping you go from 60% plant-based to 90% plant-based, then that's a fantastic progress for your health, for the environments, for the animal, for everyone. So 2 years ago, as we were building, and like I was starting to feel the limitations of it, I was starting to feel limitations in the referrals of our members because our members love their program and they're telling everyone around them about it. And their friends were, again, interested or plant curious, but were not vegan like their friend. And they're like, yeah, no, I can't do this thing. I don't associate myself or I don't see myself as someone that's vegan. And I'll be honest with you, man, I was at a basketball scouting event playing to try and get a contract overseas. And I got hit in the head and I got a concussion. And that concussion knocked all the fear out of me. And one of those fears was like, man, if I rebrand, is our company going to tank? We're not going to be able to help the 10,000 people we're trying to help, the million people we're trying to help by 2050. But because I got hit so hard, I was like, oh, we just need to do this. So I committed to rebranding the whole company in that moment, which ended up being a beautiful gift. And when I say in that moment of fear, I also was not going to be stupid. I was going to do a little bit of research. So I went on some Reddit forums, I created some anonymous accounts, and I asked people, I was like, hey, if you are plant curious or interested in plant-based eating, would you check out this vegan recipe, this vegan book, or this vegan video? And a lot of them like, nah, I don't want to touch it, because their main comment was that the word vegan was so loaded that they just didn't feel comfortable being associated with it or having it in their vocabulary. And at that moment, I had to make a decision. I was like, I understand the importance of the word vegan. At the end of the day, I'm just trying to help people eat whole food plant-based. I'm trying to get people to eat healthier. I'm just trying to get, and more, the more people eat whole food plant-based, the less animals die, the more the environment gets better. So then I had a decision to make of like, do I stay attached to that one word that is currently limiting the impact I can have? Or do I just rebrand to another name, but keep everything whole food plant-based and be able to have a broader impact. And my hope was that by rebranding, we would kind of expand the amount of people that wanted to work with us. And in the past, you know, 5 weeks-ish, there's tons of people that have been like, I've been following you for years. I was interested in plant-based. I didn't want to be vegan. But now that you're rebranded, like, I'm okay with it. So we've had people sitting on the sideline just waiting for me to use a different name to kind of come and work with us. And in coming for the name, like, my wife and I, we always called ourselves Team Mavi because my name is Maxim and her name is Ivy. So we just kind of made up our own team when we worked on projects together or did things throughout life and in our marriage. So we decided to just call the company Mavi Wellness. And that was the reasoning as to why we changed the brand, you know, over a month ago.
And I think I'm glad you shared that with us, because I feel like this movement, you know, I'm looking at it from a 100-foot view down. And I've had the good fortune of being in this community for over 10 years, now actively involved in the community, speaking to hundreds of people, working with multiple organizations. And I feel like there's a room for different approaches. And I feel like the mission is the same, but the way we do it, I feel like our attachment to doing things a certain way can also become our downfall. I mean, as long as it's aligned, the missions are aligned, of course. You know, there's a whole conversation of, you know, restaurants bringing in meat and things of that nature. I don't think that that's not the conversation we're having right here. We're talking about how to be the most impactful and how to reach the most people. Tell me that goal again. I love your mission. With 20 by 2050, you want to do what now?
Yeah. So and I created that after my late partner passed away in her honor, which was to serve 10,000 people to get lean, thrive, and reduce your risk of dealing with chronic illness by 2033 and 1 million by 2050. And I redid my math yesterday and we're just over 2,300 people. So we're almost 25% of the way there, 6 years into this whole journey.
Wow. And I think that's important to have that goal, that aspirational goal. In your case, you're on track to it, but just to have like that North Star to anchor yourself into why you're doing it. And I feel like that's also the downfall for a lot of people when they decide to go vegan or adopt a plant-based lifestyle, which I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about in a little bit. So thank you for sharing that. I wanted to make sure we just got that off the ground, because there's probably people questioning, like, why did he move away from Sexy Fit and move to this? I feel like your explanation makes complete sense. And I'm excited for the progress and the growth that you're seeing right now. You're traveling the world, you're a jet setter, you're doing all these amazing things to spread awareness for a healthy living. So with that said, let's transition into Forever Fit. Let's transition into this new book. Could you pull it up one more time for everybody so they can see it? A little solo shot for that, that hero shot we have here for Forever Fit. So tell us a little bit, like, I love to pull little clips. I'm doing a little inside baseball right now for our listeners. I like to pull little clips that I can put up on social media. So this is that social media 30-second clip. And then we'll dive bit deeper of what is Forever Fit.
Yeah, Forever Fit is a sustainable blueprint to being able to improve your body composition on a whole food plant-based lifestyle, regardless of your age. We have members that are in their 30s, 40s, and our oldest member is 87 years old now. So it's a way of being able to transform in a sustainable manner that will allow you to be forever fit. And that simply means that whenever life does throw you a curveball and you're having to deal with challenges like caring for a family member or a parent, that you do have the tools to remain as fit as possible and get back at it whenever that moment is done.
And so that the pressure is off. We're done with that. So we can sink into it a little bit more. So what prompted you to write this book?
Yeah, honestly, everything was tied to the mission. Like, I could tell that at the pace that we were going with working with people one-on-one, 10,000 would be a challenge to hit, but we might be able to do it. And that 10,000 by 2033 was never really the concern for me. To me, it was 1 million by 2050. Because once I get to 10,000, that is 5% of the way to my goal to 1 million people. And so how I count a life impacted is not by a subscriber on YouTube or a newsletter subscriber or follower or whatever. It's people that got access to all the information we provide inside of our coaching program. So the only way to track that previously was the people that we work with one-on-one. But then again, I could see the trend, like that's going to be a lot of people to work with. And so I was like, how can I make all of the information that we provide to our members easily accessible to the masses? And then a book just made the most sense because, you know, you can read it, you can have a Kindle. I don't have an audio version yet, but eventually you'll be able to listen to it. And again, it's just $20. And so that was kind of my way to help increase the impact that we could have in the world towards our goal of reaching 1 million people.
We're cracking the book open. What can people expect to see? And we're going to get a little granular with this. How is a book going to support someone on their wellness journey? Let me say wellness journey. You know, what about this book is different than all the other books that are out there that why they should go ahead and pick this up?
Yeah, great question. I'll be honest, there are probably some other good books out there. I haven't read all of them, but I'm sure there's some good ones out there. This is just, you know, we've worked one-on-one with nearly 1,200 people. And when you work with that many people, there's patterns that emerge, there's systems that you know that are work, that are replicable. And that's what we put into the book. This is not just like some theoretical thing of like, oh, if you do this, you might transform. Like, well, this is work for 1,200 people. So one of the main things in the book, when you crack it open, obviously there's some awesome stories from our members. And the reason that we put those into the book is because I think like a lot of people that struggle with their health or their weight and their fitness, they feel like they are some type of unique case that they're somehow, they can't be healthy or they can't lose weight or they can't build muscle. And we have such a wide variety of range of stories in the book to illustrate many different situations that people have been in. And my hope is that you read a story of someone that is in the same position as you or in a worse position than you are that was able to get out of it and to use that as inspiration to know that like, hey, this is possible. If this person did it, they're just like me. Or, oh man, they were in a worse position than me and I can actually do it. So there's that component. But a big component of the book is based around mindset and psychology. Because I always tell our members before they start working with us, I can give you the best workout program in the world. I can give you the best meal plan in the world. If you don't do anything with it, you're not going to transform. You're not going to get fitter. You're not going to get healthier. You're not going to get leaner. So there actually needs to be some implementation. And where most people struggle is with what's in between their 2 years. They have a story that they tell themselves. They have patterns and habits that don't serve them. They have a belief system that they're not worth it or they can't do it because they tried in the past. And so there's a lot of unwinding that needs to take place. And we provide a lot of tools into the book to help to unwind some of those stories and to be able to catch yourself so that whenever you do want to self-sabotage, you're able to catch yourself before that happens. But also if you do self-sabotage, how do you get back on track after? Do you wait till the next Monday? Do you wait till the next month? Do you wait till the next year? What we tell our members is to win the next meal. Like, why wait a whole day? Why wait the rest of the week to get back on track when you have an opportunity right at the next meal? When you miss a workout, win the next workout. Why wait till next Monday? Why wait till next month? You're just prolonging you being able to get to your goal in a faster way. So there's a ton of psychological tools to set the foundation to make sure you're in the right headspace to be able to transform. But like I said, who cares if you have a plan if you don't do anything with it? And then we actually go into the five phases of our program, which are body recomposition, reverse dieting, lean muscle building phase, maintenance, and then the athletic phase. And there are step-by-steps of what to do to go through the five-phase transformation journey to get you to a place where you are this new person that is fit, healthy, and active. And all the equations are provided, all the steps, what to do when you plateau, what to do when your body doesn't change, what to do when you're not gaining strength, you know, how to increase your metabolism post-fat loss. There's 500 recipes, there's a bunch of meal plans, there's workout programs in there that you can follow to get you started on your journey. And so it's like a guide, like a manual to follow through and implement as you go along.
So you mentioned stories that you have in there illustrating their journey, what they've gone through, so we can connect and relate with them. What's your story when it comes to, you know, wellness and fitness? You know, what did you go through any particular hurdles to get to this point?
For sure. I wasn't always this super athlete, you know? I'll put it in a nutshell to kind of skim through the fitness story, but like I grew up skinny fat. I was 6'4" when I was like 13 years old. So I was shaped like a spaghetti noodle. I was so skinny, but I had no muscle tone and had like little man boobs because I was so skinny fat. And then I got bullied when I played basketball. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to get super big and strong. And then I I went from 160 pounds to 240 pounds over a year. And that's when I transitioned to college. And I was still playing basketball at that time. So I bulked up to a big 240 pound, played basketball. And then I got invited. A friend of mine was doing bodybuilding show. I was like, you should try a bodybuilding show. So then I started to train for bodybuilding. I went down and leaned out to 4% body fat and competed on stage and did it in such an unhealthy, unsustainable way where I had to like really starve myself and overexercise, which had led me to build a really unhealthy relationship with food and with exercise. Post show, I gained like 50 pounds, man, in 30 days. It was wild. I went from shredded six pack to boobs. It was such a drastic transformation in a short period of time because I ate everything. I was deprived for so long to get that lean that I just ate everything I could see. I did the whole diet, a whole cake, a whole pizza, a whole pint of ice cream. I ate the whole of everything. I go to Subway, get 2-foot-long sandwiches. Like I just could not stop eating because I was so hungry because I was starving myself for so long for that show. And then honestly, man, I was pretty chunky for a little bit of time because like every time I tell myself, okay, on Monday, I'm going to start. Like, I'm like everyone else. I was like, on Monday, I'm going to eat healthy. So the weekend before, I was like, I'm going to eat all the freaking cookies, pizza, and ice cream I want because on Monday, I'm going to be good. And on Monday, I'd start. And because I had such an unhealthy blueprint for how to do this, which was severely starve myself and overexercise, I'd last like 3-4 days before my cravings were so strong that I'd go and I eat something I wasn't supposed to. And then I'd beat myself up because I ate like a cookie or a tablespoon of peanut butter. And then I go order an extra large pizza. I'm like, well, I messed up already. Might as well continue eating. And then I tell myself, next Monday, I'm going to start again. But the weekend before, I ate all the pizzas, cookies, and ice cream. So I just kept getting fatter and fatter as time progressed because I was waiting for next Monday until eventually I was introduced to the concept of if it fits your macro. I was watching YouTube one day. And it was basically, if you can eat whatever you want, as long as you hit your calories and your protein and your macros, you're going to get lean. So like, you know what? I can do that. So I ate cookies, ice cream, pizzas, Pop-Tarts, like drink a ton of protein shakes, hit my protein. But I tracked my macros and my calories and I got lean. I got a six pack for the first time in many years eating complete junk food. So now my face was covered with pimple. My digestion was terrible. I had no energy. I felt like absolute crap during that time. But I was able to get lean. So then I was like, you know what? Let me just eat healthy food so I feel better, but keep the principle the same. And along that journey, I've been vegan for over 11 years. So along that journey, I became vegan. So when I'm saying like pizza and ice cream, those are like vegan pizza and ice cream and things. But then I got lean, ate healthier, and then I bulked up again and I got recruited for high fashion modeling and I got a contract in Milan, Italy. And then I had to lose a bunch of weight to get to that. So I went down to 160 pounds at 6'4", which is really skinny to be able to walk the runways in Milan and work in that industry. Came out of that because it was toxic after 2-3 years. It was too much, like, I don't do drugs, but it was too much drugs involved. And when you're on the international stage, it's pretty nasty. And then met my late partner. She gets diagnosed with cancer. I take care of her for several years. So fitness is kind of like a hit and miss, but still whole food plant-based. And at one point I was like, you know what? I'm going to raise money for her and other cancer patients. So I'm like, I'm going to bike from Vancouver, Canada to San Francisco, California.
Wow.
I had no cycling training, nothing. I got a bike. I got sponsors. I left like 2-3 weeks after. It took me 22 days of cycling every single day to get down there. When I came back, I was like, cool, I need something harder. And I learned about Ironman races. I didn't know what they were, but they sounded badass. So then I was like, I'm going to do a half Ironman. And then I hired a coach and he was like, you're crazy. Probably just try like a smaller distance triathlon before. So I did one. I got hooked. I've done probably like 15 of them with 3 half Ironmans since that point. And then just got back to kind of regular fitness. Like she passed away. I moved to Mexico. Traveled around, came to LA, met my now wife, and I got back into serious basketball training maybe like a year and a half ago to try to get a contract overseas for fun. That's my fitness journey.
Wow. That I'm like watching it like, ooh, like listening to
I've been every shape and size, man.
That's wow. Wow. So what you're pretty much saying to me is that you've experienced this. You're not just talking about it theoretically. You've experimented, whether it was on purpose or not, you've experimented with your body. You, at the, part that really stood out to me was that you watched your macros, but you were eating junk, and yeah. you were able to get lean, and you said exactly what I hoped you would say. You had effects of that, you know. You broke out, your digestive system was out of whack. So the idea that you just have to watch your calories, I feel like there's parts to that that are true, but you have to also look at the nutrition that you put in your body. So I'm glad that you experienced that and you're able to share that through your story. But let's go into more the philosophy of Forever Fit. What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'll just add one story to the whole story of fitness. The when I discovered If It Fits Your Macro, I was driving my little Honda Civic and I was going to the gym because I was still training. And the pivotal moment for me, man, is I was driving and I hit a speed bump. And after I hit the speed bump, my boobs and my stomach were still jiggling. And I was like, yeah, this is not supposed to go on for this long after. And that's what got me to be like, all right, cool. I need to lose some weight at this point. So just a little fun story for you. So the philosophy behind Forever Fit. So I think there's two things, right? Forever and then Forever Fit and then fit in of itself. So let me give you my definition of what fit means. Having a fit body is having a body that is not a limitation to you living your best life, whatever that may look like for you. So if you meet someone that's really in a stage of their life where they love to run marathons, cool. That's what fit means for them in this period of their life. I have clients that are, you know, in their 60s and their goal is like they want to train 3 times a week, not wake up in pain. They want to be able to hike with their grandkids and play pickleball with their friends and be able to beat their friends. That's what fit means to them. And some people are in a phase of their life where they're taking care of their parents that are older, they have kids, they're working their career, they're building their business. And to them, fit is just being like, not overweight and having enough energy to get through the day. And so fit means something different at different stage of life and depending on your personality. But to me, it's having a body that's not a limitation to living whatever your best life looks like. So that's what fit means to me. Now, Forever Fit, it's a pretty bold title, right? Mm-hmm. So basically people could make the assumption that I'm saying like, once you get in shape, you'll never get out of shape for the rest of your life. That's not what I'm saying in the book. The idea, like I shared a little bit earlier when we started recording, is get in shape, have a healthy blueprint of how to get in shape. Mm. Because remember in my story, all I knew how to get in shape was to starve myself and overexercise. So anytime I get fat, I would just revert back to that because that's all I knew. That's all that had worked in the past. So I'm trying to teach people a healthier way to do that. So whenever they do get in shape and they're going along life and life throws them a curveball, a speed bump, an emergency with work, you have a new child, you're taking care of your parents or your partner, whatever it may be, that you're able to navigate that as best as you can. And if ever you do get slightly out of shape or fully mm-hmm. out of shape, because sometimes it happens, right? For example, we had members that get a baby and then you have to lose the weight from the pregnancy. That was a good reason to put on weight, right? You just gave life. Whenever you are ready to lose weight again, you already have the healthy tools and the blueprint mm-hmm. to be able to get back in shape without having to stress yourself, feel like you have to be perfect, cut your food in half and overexercise, you can get back in shape. So this is more to kind of deal with the fluctuations of life and always bring you to a place where you have the best body to live your best life.
That piece right there, and I'm glad you framed it in that way, because last year I got with an instructor who pretty much gave me a blueprint of what to mm-hmm. do. And I was in one of those modes of my life where it's like, and I have my own philosophy of stuff, but I won't share it right now because this is about you. I went on this sprint of my life where I was 100% dedicated to what this person told me on paper. Yeah. And over the next 3 months, I lost over 30 pounds. I was able like to transform it. The reason I'm saying this is because it really aligns to with what you're saying right now. I have since gained back that weight. What I know now that it works. Yeah. And I know, and I have that blueprint in my mind of what I did, and because I tracked everything. I looked in the mirror every week, took videos, did all that, that if I follow that same blueprint, I'll be able to get back to where I was. And I even noticed that because I went through that process, things are a little bit easier for me. So when I do jump back into the gym, I feel like that conditioning is there that wasn't there before because I put in all that work and that effort. So with that being said, let's go back to the willpower, not necessarily the willpower, but the mindset side of things. Because I know that's the biggest piece, not even just for fitness, but just in life in general. What practical advice or tips can you give people to give them a taste of what they can expect in the book?
Oh, that's a great question. Practical advice for it. Honestly, I would tell people, and it's going to be like an indirect answer, but as long as you're committed to improving, you'll be fine. And as long as you're willing to be adaptable, which kind of comes with like a commitment to willing to improve. And I said in the book, there's a lot of sayings or framework on like, you know, win the next meal, win the next workout, consistency compounds. There's all these different illustrations to demonstrate like the basic principles of transforming over an extended period of time versus kind of rushing into something that's not going to be sustainable. But the core foundation is if you stay open to the idea that you're going to make mistakes and that you're willing to get back on track whenever a mistake is made, you're willing to be adaptable and learn from that moment, that continuously over time, you will become the best version of yourself. Like that applies to relationship, it applies to business, it applies to podcasting, it applies to fitness, and it applies to your health. If you're too afraid to fail or too committed to a certain path that isn't working, then that's how people get stuck and people never make progress.
All right. So let's move a little bit, because I want to kind of walk down this pathway. I feel like the mindset component, I think even if you aren't quite there yet in moving forward, I feel like we understand at some sort of level that that's an important component and that we get to wrap our hands around it. And it's established that that's a huge component of what Forever Fit is about. For me personally, I understand that part. What I'm coming up against is the excuses that I'm making, you know, in terms of I don't really want to cook. You know, as at the end of the day, you know, I'm in meetings after meetings, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I just want something quick to eat. And that's been my biggest issue. When I did my journey last year, you know, I was in a different setup. You know, I had all the things, the tools, everything that I needed. You know, I'm in a different situation right now. So it's like I'm just grabbing things that aren't super unhealthy. Obviously, everything plant-based. What would you say to that? You know, if you had a client that came to you and was like, you know what, I want to do this, I'm committed, but I just don't feel like cooking anything or preparing my foods. I just want to be able to go out and grab something.
Yeah, for sure. I would say a few things. I'll be more direct than like sugarcoating.
Sure.
You know, you said the word I'm committed, but this commit, there would be no but to commitment, right? So to a certain there is commitment. I'm not saying there's not commitment, maybe not a full commitment to the thing. So to me, like eating healthy and exercise are just symptoms of the real goal that people have. Like, who cares if you're 20, 30 pounds lighter? You want to be 20, 30 pounds lighter because you feel darn good in your body and you feel more confident and you just have more energy every day. You have that strength. You know how it is. You've been in shape. Like you feel that strength. You're like, this is awesome. I like feeling this way. Like that's why people want to be leaner. That's why people want to be fitter. It's never for a number. So I think people need to understand that they can use goals and time frames as two psychological tools to provoke action. So when I talk to people and they come to the program, they say, I want to lose, for example, let's say I want to lose 15 pounds and I can see their stats and I know that they have more than 15 pounds to lose, but I'm not going to tell them that they have more than 15 pounds to lose. I'm going to tell them like, hey, what people usually do is they give me a fake number up front because they feel like that's a number that's safe. It's a number that they know that they can hit and that they kind of feel confident they'll be able to hit. And they're like, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. I was like, cool. So like, what's the number that's going to make you feel like you're a complete different person that's actually going to change your life? Like just no limits. You're going to be able to hit 100%. Like what's that number? And I was like, man, if I was 35 pounds lighter, like I'd be able to run half marathons again. Like we've had people say like, I can like be naked in front of my wife and not feel insecure. Like we have people say a lot of things, questions. But like, what's the real number? Like, what's the real goal that gets you excited? Because people always set safe goals and they wonder what they're not motivated towards them. Like, I'm not trying to be lean and fit to be lean and fit. I'm trying to be lean and fit so I can dunk on people and like be good at basketball. That excites me way more than a number on the scale. So what is that for that person? What is that for you? So one is creating a goal that is big enough and that is true enough that gets you excited to want to work towards it. That's one thing. The other thing is, let's just say that it is, we'll describe your example, lose 30 pounds because you really want to, you know, hike Kilimanjaro. You really want to run this race or be a certain way because you want to do a photo shoot because you got invited to be on a magazine or whatever it may be, like a goal that really gets you fired up. And now let's just say I tell you, you have 1 year to use that goal, to hit that goal, right? So think about how your head is thinking right now about hitting this in 1 year, the types of action and the types of person you would have to be and how much your lifestyle would have to change for you to hit 30 pounds in a year. Like, let's be honest, 30 pounds in a year is pretty darn easy. Because you did in 30 days and in 90 days, sorry. Mm-hmm. Now, if I tell you, you got to do it in 6 months, I don't know for you, but a little gear that kicks up is like, ooh, 6 months. All right, well, I'll probably have to be more intense on this. I'll probably really have to cut this. Now, if I tell you, you got to do it in 3 months, you're like, oh shit, I really got to be on my stuff to be able to reach that goal, right? And the thing is, the brain will always find ways. And so I think a lot of people will like stretch the timeline. Like, again, sustainably, it's like, who cares how long it takes you to reach the goal? Because at the end of the day, it's you being in that position that matters most and how long it took you to get there. But you can use goal to incentivize yourself to take bigger levels of action and have higher levels of commitment. And I think people don't use exciting goals and a psychological tool as time wisely enough to get themselves fired up about reaching to the thing. Like, man, an example, like 10,000 people by 2033 to a million by 2050, how hard it is to write a freaking book. This was so stressful. But I only did it because I gave myself 12 months. I didn't give myself 5 years. I was like, 12 months, it has to be out. And I respected that time frame. But it was stressful. But I was like, hey, what high level of action do I need to do to get this thing done in 12 months? But it was something that excited me because I knew that would get me towards my goal of 10,000 people and a million people. So that's kind of my little rant. But that's basically like my answer to you is use exciting goal setting and time as a psychological tool to induce higher levels of action.
And that makes total sense because what I had going for me last time was it was part of my system. It was like I was doing it to prove a point that if I followed my system, it would work. So that was that motivation. Right now, my mind is other places. I don't have that same. My motivation is in other areas where if I had that same mindset, and I can shift myself into that mindset, but if I had that same mindset, I would be able to say, okay, I get to cook. You know, I get to prepare my foods. I get to follow the same blueprint because I have this timeline that I set for myself. So I guess it's just me putting myself in that mindset of like, okay, what is that bigger thing other than me trying to lose 30 pounds? You know, what's the why behind that? You know, and I can easily come up with things for that with what's going on in my life. So thank you for that because it always goes back to that why, which just sounds like, which was the topic sentence of what you were talking about.
But also understanding that like, hey, maybe you're in a phase right now where you're in your company and you're hiring a bunch of people and it just requires a different level of commitment from yourself. And cool, who cares if you're not 30 pounds lighter, but if you could be, you know, 15 pounds lighter and that's like good enough for like kind of what your best life looks like right now while you're doing all these things and you get through this busy period, then that's fantastic. Once you get through this period, like, you know, go and lose the other 5 or 10 pounds after that. Like, and man, I'll be honest, like I've been in and out of shape multiple times throughout my whole career as I've shared my story with you. But at the end of the day, like as you progress, you refine your own personal system for like what's the standard of what you want to tolerate on the high end and on the low end. And that refinement kind of gets thinner and thinner as you progress and then you hover less over time.
So as we start to wind down on this podcast, I do want to bring up something. And anytime I have someone who's in the wellness space, I like to broach this topic. A lot of people who enter the plant-based lifestyle, the vegan lifestyle, they are concerned about nutrients. They're concerned about things that they've heard that they might not be able to get. They might not be able to get on a plant-based diet. What is your take on that? You know, what are things that are kind of overhyped? What are some things that you feel are legitimate that you urge your clients to consider supplementing and things of that nature? What is just your general vibe on that topic?
Yeah, so great question. I think I was going to go sarcastic at first for the answer. They'll be like, I don't think they care about the nutrients when they're eating McDonald's or Subway or Popeyes or sushi or shit like that, you know? think most people want to be worried about it, but if they actually analyze the food that they ate, if a large portion of that is processed food, your actions are currently showing that you don't really care about vitamins and minerals, right? But I do understand the concern for most people if they're not eating a bunch of processed food. So again, what has the most amount of vitamins and nutrients into the world, right? Veggies, grains, fruits. That's all we eat, right? We eat all the plant-based foods that contain the most amount of vitamins and minerals and fiber, which is extremely important. So that's one element. Like, what are the foods that contain the most amount of nutrients? All the foods that we're eating as plant-based eaters. On the other side, I know there's like the B12 and D3 conversation. Cool. Take a supplement. Like, problem solve. And there's a lot of meat eaters that don't absorb B12 as well. So I know a lot of people that are deficient in B12, even though they're like steak eaters and meat eaters. So you're not protected from that, even though you eat animal products. Like, some people still need to supplement. So yuppie-doo, pay like $5 and get B12 and D3. But what we do encourage our members to do when they work with us is, depending on our package, like, we have blood work included. So some people will get their blood work, or they do blood work with our doctors that we have on staff. And then that's when we identify if there's any deficiencies. And then that's going to kind of determine what supplements they should take. But a lot of the people are coming in, potentially eating a little bit more processed food than they should, and not enough vitamins and nutrients and fiber-rich foods. And that's why there's some of those deficiencies. So I'm a big fan of not guessing, just do the blood work, figure out where there's any deficiencies, and then like address those. But all the foods that we get to eat, if you are eating properly on a whole food plant-based lifestyle, has all the vitamins and nutrients, except like 99.9% of them. Take a B12 and a D3, and then the rest, you're good to go. And you don't get to eat all the like freaking mucus and inflamed stuff that comes from the meat, and the cholesterol and the cancer-causing food that come from it. I think that's a pretty good trade-off, in my opinion.
And there's a thing that I was in the world of bodybuilding for, I mean, the last 3 years, worked with a lot of different people. So I felt like I'm just coming out of that world. And one of the big things that, not that I was a bodybuilder, but I was working around that sphere. One of the big things that came up was creatine. And yeah. I'm just curious on what are your thoughts on creatine? Is it something that you use, you recommend, or you generally try to stay away from it?
So I personally don't take it. There is a vegan creatine you can buy. If you want vegan creatine, go for it. I know there's studies showing that it is beneficial for people as they're getting older. So 50, 60, 70, and 80 plus. So a lot of our members do consume some vegan creatine. But for the most part, you don't have to. Is it going to provide you a little bit more benefit if you're an athlete and or if you're aging? Yes. And that's a choice if people want to take it or not. But I'm not like opposed to it.
And then we'll get off the supplement topic, but are there any other things that you typically would recommend that would be a good part of their nutrition? Or do you generally focus just more on whole foods, or what does that generally look like for you?
Yeah, for sure. So obviously like B12, D3, and then when people do their blood work, if there's any deficiencies, like some of it can be helped with food, but if the deficiency is too far, sometimes supplementation does help to fix some of those deficiencies. Honestly, B12, D3, blood work, and then just a good, clean, plant-based protein powder, because we do get some smoothies for our members. Like, I love smoothies, such an easy way to get a ton of vitamins and nutrients in one go and in one drink. So just a clean, plant-based protein powder.
Okay. Once again, as we wind down, what are some things that maybe we didn't cover that you definitely would love our listeners or our viewers to know about Forever Fit and just your general framework that you've created over the last couple of years?
Yeah. So I think we covered a lot, to be honest with you. Like, again, the psychology is the biggest part. Like, again, there's trainings in the book, there's recipes, there's meal plan. Like, it is a guide for you to be able to transform. There's a section where you can enter like your weights, make some notes, do your equations on there. That way you have a reminder of where you started. And honestly, the big piece of the book is like, I do count every book sold as a life transformed towards our goal. We do donate to cancer patients every single month to help support them on their, you know, with their medical bills, with buying food, because a lot of them aren't working because they're dealing with cancer. And I am working on setting up a foundation of some sort in the end of 2026, maybe like Q4. So we do have plans of that and opening up a program specifically for cancer patients so that we can work with them directly. So I'm very excited for that project. That's really close to my heart. But yeah, ultimately, like if you want to learn how to fuel yourself properly on a whole food plant-based lifestyle, you want to learn how to exercise safely and effectively, and you're always wondering like, how do I put all this information that I'm hearing from all the podcasts and the news article and all the posts into something that's actually going to work, that's been proven nearly 1,200 times? That's what the book is for. We're just removing all the guessing for people.
And where can people find more information about the book, about your program? How can they find you after listening to this podcast?
Yeah, so for the book, there's two places. You can go to foreverfitbook.com, but honestly, when you click on the link, it'll just bring you to Amazon. So if you go on any Amazon in your country and you type Forever Fit Book, we should show up if we did a good job at the top, which I'm glad to say we've already hit number one bestseller in four categories since Monday. So it's very exciting. So I'm grateful for all the support. So you go on Amazon for our coaching program, just head over to mavywellness.com, mavywellness.com. And if you want to work with us, you got to book a call with our team, just because we do have doctors on staff. So we want to make sure that you're in a healthy position to be able to start an exercise program and to make sure that we're a good fit just culturally as well. Because, you know, sometimes people say they want to change, but they're not really ready to change. And it ends up being more of a headache than anything else. So we, you know, it's a filtration system on both sides. You see if we like us and we see if we can help you.
And then the last thing that we love to do on this podcast, it's called a moment from the heart. We like to give our guests the opportunity to close out our show, to have the last word. And this is just something that you want our listeners, our viewers to take away as they go on to their day. So as soon as you see yourself full screen, the floor is yours. And thank you so much. And I just want to let all of our listeners know we are a daily podcast. So you can check us out at vegansexplore.com/podcast to listen to all of the episodes. This is episode 91. We started November 1st, 2025. Our goal is to do a podcast every single day until November 1st, 2026 to show our commitment to this vegan movement, tell the stories that aren't being told, and to celebrate every single win. So thank you so much for being on our show, and the floor is yours.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. I hope the audience got value out of it. I'll end it the way that I end all my training sessions with my members. Everything I shared with you today is absolutely worthless, and none of it is going to transform your life unless you do something with the information. Right? It's just going to be cool stuff that you know that you can tell your friend and sound super smart, but it's not going to change your health. It's not going to change your body, and it's not going to change your level of fitness. So I invite you to pick one thing from this conversation today and take action on it today, whether that is just drinking more water, going for a walk, getting a gym membership, making a healthier dinner tonight, committing to booking a call with our team, buying the book, going down right now and doing 5 push-ups or 5 squats. Take some type of action to move you forward from the things that you've learned today. And thank you very much, everyone, for listening.